Man, good singing this morning, and don't forget junior choir 5:30. So junior choir practice at 5:30, and let me do this too. Finance committee and deacons. So finance committee and deacons, let's do a meeting 5:30 tonight over in the Fam Life Center. All right, if you can't make it, that's fine. No emergency at all. Late notice, but let's do that. So 5:30 tonight, finance committee, deacons, over in the Fam Life Center. We'll do that. Then just take a couple minutes to get some information to you. All right, good. Brother Jason, come read scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I was thinking about with Miss Ellen's song, do we really understand saved by grace? Do we really understand that? And I've been reading a couple of things this week, and if we really understood how great God was and how unbelievably horrible we are as humans, and yet God died for us, and that whole dynamic of saved by grace is something we can think on for a long time. And man, I'm just so glad and so grateful for Jesus and dying on the cross for us and giving us an opportunity to accept Him. And man, just as Dad would say when he was before, of course, before he passed, but as he would say, he'd be in the first however long just worshiping Jesus Christ. And man, that's the spirit I want to have. I want to have that spirit of, man, when I go to heaven, man, all that He's done for us, and I've done nothing for Him. And you try to live for Him, you try to do right, but man, Almighty God is an amazing concept, and I'm so thankful for Christianity and for what Jesus provides for us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This morning, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place. Lord, what a great place. And Lord, what a place focused on Christ, Lord. And Lord, so oftentimes, Lord, in today's worship, the focus isn't on Christ. The focus is on me and what Christ can do for me. And Lord God, what Christ has done for us, Lord God, we could never, Lord God, repay that or live a life, Lord, that would ever get there, Lord. So we say thank you for your blood, your perfect shed blood that was shed for us, Lord, that we can accept you and Lord, go to heaven to be with you eternally. And Lord God, it's real. Lord, it's in the Bible. It is real. And Lord, we sometimes don't live like that. But God, help us, Lord, as we read the scripture this morning, Lord, and the commission to go out and tell others. Lord God, if we're living for Christ, Lord God, it should just be something that's pretty natural. Lord God, that comes out and says, man, come out and see us at our church. Come out and Lord, just tell others about what Jesus has done for us, Lord. And again, we just thank you for this great group of people that we come here and worship with, Lord God, Lord, not a perfect people, Lord God, but a humble people, Lord, and a people desiring to please you and desiring to do what's right. Know we're going to struggle and fail, but Lord God, and understand that you've done it all in your perfect life that you lived here and shed blood for us. God, we thank you for that. Lord, be with the message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, appreciate, as always, the music. Thank you, choir. And then Mrs. Antic with the special. And Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. It's always great music. Uplift and honor God. So thank you for that again this morning. Book of Acts, we read there in chapter 1. And we've been talking about, really, since Easter, we talked about the resurrection. And then after that, as Jesus ascended to heaven, and you think about what these apostles went through, and they lived in a world that did not agree with what they were trying to do, and yet God did great things through them. And I want to talk this morning about somebody we don't talk about a whole lot, to be honest with you, in the book of Acts. And so go ahead to turn to Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to come back and read the verse we read again, Acts chapter 1, in just a second. Go ahead to Acts chapter 8, and if you know your Bible, you know the book of Acts, the first part, roughly the first half of the book of Acts is concentrated in Jerusalem. And The main character or main person, we would say, would be Peter. There's others that are involved with him. Peter and John are together a lot in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. But, of course, Peter's the one that preaches the sermon at Pentecost. He sort of seems to be the leader of the apostles together there in Jerusalem and a lot that goes on. In fact, Peter is the one that gets the gospel to the Gentiles through Cornelius in chapter 10 and beyond. And then the second half of the book of Acts is really focused on Paul and his ministry. And, of course, he had different partners, Barnabas and then Silas, and Timothy was with him, and Luke. So others were with him. But the main focus is Paul and his missionary journeys. And as Peter was the first one to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, Paul took it beyond. And really, we read Acts 1:8, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Paul at the in the second half of the book of Acts. And so we see, and we talked about the last few weeks, it had to be different for these apostles, especially early on with Peter and John and the other apostles that were there, because they'd never been without Jesus physically. Now, we've never experienced that, right? We haven't physically been around Jesus. We feel his presence. We talk to him. But we don't get to see him. They got to see him day after day after day, 3.5 years. And as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, imagine as that first time they had a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1, and Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't leading. They didn't have to. Jesus right there. And in fact, their prayer life was pretty anemic, right, in the Gospels before you get to the book of Acts. And then at Pentecost, the first message, and always before when they gathered together, Jesus taught, right? He preached. He said it. And now, for the first time, Peter, somebody else gets up and preaches, and Jesus, even though he's there, not there physically. And then that had to been a wonderful moment when they saw the thousands that came forward, right? And got saved and thought, well, this never happened without Jesus. Jesus always knew what to do. What do we do? What do we do? And they were able to, through the power of God that he'd promised them, and really took on that great commission that we're still, and the same thing we're supposed to be doing today is what they were doing 2,000 years ago in the New Testament church. And so, we see that, and so in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you're there in Acts chapter 8, and so most of y'all know Acts 1:8 that Brother Jason read for us, and it gives us the command of Jesus to these men: you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. That power is going to come, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so Jesus said, be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. And you think about it, boy, Jerusalem was just infiltrated with the gospel, right? And we have thousands that were saved. As we talked about last week, not everybody liked it, right? Not every person liked the gospel. And you had pushback. Peter and John had to deal with being arrested, being detained, and we saw how God helped them through that. And as we mentioned last week, I like the story of Peter and, the angel comes and opens the doors. I don't like the story of James where he just gets killed, And same thing happened with Stephen. They didn't like it, and he got martyred. And that's not always, that's not as much fun. It sounds, it'd be great to be there at Pentecost. I don't know if I want to be there with Stephen. And yet the persecution came. And that was part of what that resistance they had to deal with. But it didn't stop the message. It didn't stop what they were supposed to preach. And as I read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, read so many times before, and you read, and they just covered Jerusalem with the gospel. And then Paul got to the uttermost parts of the earth and the Jerusalem and Judea. But you notice right near the end of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you have they're also supposed to take the gospel to Samaria. Samaria were half Jew, half Gentile. We know from the story of Jesus and the woman at the well that the Jews really didn't even speak to the Samaritans. It wasn't a group of people. And, it's funny, in the book of Acts, we don't have a long line of volunteers to go to Samaria. Hey, the apostles line up, hey, we're going to go to Samaria. Anybody want to go to Samaria? We don't have that. In fact, for the first 7 chapters, we don't get beyond Jerusalem. And eventually, the persecution comes in chapter 7 with Stephen, and we get into chapter 8, and the beginning of chapter 8 mentions, for the first time, end of chapter 7, beginning of chapter 8, mentions Saul, who would later become Paul, and what an impression that had to make as he stood there and watched Stephen be martyred for the faith and not saved himself yet. And Saul continues to persecute the church in the beginning of chapter 8. But I want you to look at verse number 5. We're going to talk about Philip. Really only this chapter. We mentioned him, I believe, last week. Because in chapter 7, he's one of those seven men that were chosen. Along with Stephen. Those are the two we remember the most. And of course, Stephen is martyred. Stephen doesn't make it past chapter 7 in the book of Acts. But Philip does. And so in Philip here in chapter 8, and these men were full of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to look at verse number 5. Just a couple things about what Philip did. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You know, Philip, as the Bible tells in Acts 1, verse 8, you're supposed to go to Samaria as well. Philip's the first one we have that goes down to Samaria. And we don't know the persecution, what happened to Stephen. I'm sure they had an influence on it. And in the verse before, we didn't read it, but it tells us that because of persecution, they were scattered throughout really all Judea and eventually to the uttermost parts of the earth. But Philip, we don't read this passage as much. We tend to go to the next part of this chapter, and I want to touch on that too because I think you see the parallel here. Go to verse number 29, Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, and we know that most of us know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So same chapter in verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, let's jump back and tell you, let's go to verse number 26. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Here's the first thing about Philip. If you read back there in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And in verse number 27, as Philip is told, he arose and went. You know what Philip did? Philip went where he was supposed to go. He went exactly where he was told to go. God said, we need somebody to go to Samaria. We don't have a lot of people jumping in. And you know what Philip did? He says, all right, God said, go to Samaria. I'm going down to Samaria. And then we have later his angel. He didn't have the word of God like we have. And so the angel of the Lord spoke to him directly and says, hey, go down to this place, the southern area there, and go down. And doesn't tell him why, but says, go down there. And we see Philip. You know, what we're supposed to do as Christians, when God says to go, we're just supposed to go. No questions from Philip. Well, but God, these Samaritans, I mean, you know. Man, that's the last people in the world. Nothing. When God tells him, the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, hey, go down to this place. Doesn't tell him why. The Bible says Philip just went. That's what he did. And you know, the first thing we're supposed to do is we're just supposed to go. Wherever God calls us, we're supposed to go. Wherever God leads us, we're supposed to go. As we leave here today, we're just supposed to go out to a world that's unsaved and give those people, they're just supposed to go. Give them the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so Philip just went. When God said to go, he said, go into Samaria. Then he went down. When God said, go down south there, he went down. And not only was he obedient to the word of God in going, but I think it's so important for us as Christians. First of all, be obedient to the word of God. We just go. When God says go, we go. We're obedient to God's word. And then verse 29 in chapter number 8, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, Philip went where God told him to go, and then when he went, the Bible says the Spirit led him, the Spirit told him, he was receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God says to go, we're just supposed to go, and then as we go, we're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us as we go to that place. And so wherever, and we think about witnessing, and that's true here, because this is an opportunity that Philip's going to have to be a witness to someone. But it's really true in all that we do. Hey, you have a job where you work, and God's put you there. All right, God's placed you. That's whether it be full-time Christian work or not, God's put you there. Right? He's placed you. That's the calling God has for you. And you're in a place, as best you know, where God has for you until God moves you. And so you do what God says, go there, you go. But then daily, you're led by the Holy Spirit, right? You're led by the Holy Spirit each day. Here's how I'm supposed to live today. Here's what I'm supposed to do today. Here's how I'm supposed to interact today. And so you go where you're supposed to go, and then as you go and you're in that right place, then you're led by the Holy Spirit. And Philip was receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, go near and join. And notice what it says. The Bible says he ran, right? He took off. God says, hey, there's a chariot there. I want you to go right there. Holy Spirit leads there, and he takes off. And, you know, if we'll do what God says to do, be in the place that he's put us where we're supposed to be, then he'll lead us in what he wants us to do. I read a story of this week of an old saint in the faith, and they were walking in the fields. This was actually in Scotland, and they came upon the shepherds, this old man in the faith, had been serving God for a long time, an old preacher, and there was a young guy with him. And they were walking by, and they saw a shepherd, and this young guy runs over to the shepherd and witnesses to him and gives him a track. And by the way, we're supposed to be a witness. But as he came back, the older preacher said, did the Holy Spirit give you permission to talk to that guy? You know, you go into Walmart, and it's not, most of us don't have this trouble where we're giving out too many tracts, all right? It's usually not an issue, all right? We're speaking too much about the Lord. But you're going to walk, you're not giving a tract to everybody out there. What we are supposed to do is to allow God to lead. And as God speaks and leads, then we're supposed to, so there's never, we don't, you know, wouldn't say, boy, you don't give out the gospel. We also know this, the Holy Spirit forbid Paul, right? Say, whoa, you can't go there right now. No, you don't go there right now. But what we're supposed to do is be in the right place where we're supposed to be, and then as the Holy Spirit leads us. How many of y'all, raise your hand, but how many of y'all been somewhere? I need to give that person a track, right? And I didn't say I need to give the 300 people that are around here a track. No, man, that person. I went last week to the orthodontist. I took Micah to the orthodontist, and we go over to VCU. I get to take a trip every month or so. I just like heading to downtown Richmond, all right, just to hang out there for a little bit. So we get to do that. And so I was going in, and before we were on the way there, and, you know, a little bit of traffic trying to get there, construction all around we were trying to get. And a mental note to myself, oh, I got to grab a track before I go in there, just in case. You know, I like to be prepared. Well, I got Mike out. We go heading in, and I get heading up the steps and remembered that I forgot, all right? I forgot to put a track in my pocket. And, you know, I like to be prepared in case the Lord leads in a certain way. And so, you know, you wonder, okay, I said, well, probably what's going to happen is what happens every time I go in there, all right? You're socially distant from everybody. You got a mask on. You're required all that. And so I'm not going to, I mean, nobody's going to speak to me. I'm not going to speak to anybody else, you know? But anyway, I get up there and there's a guy behind the desk. He's always there behind the desk. And so we know him and speak to him. And, you know, you don't stay up there long. Just, hey, we're here. And then he comes and lets you know. He usually just speaks from the desk. Say, hey, you know, Micah, it's time to go back. Micah will go back. So that's what happened this time. So Micah headed on back and actually had to go with him just to tell the orthodontist something real quick. And I came back around. And the guy at the desk, he said, he's a younger guy, and his name's Carlos, and he said, hey, Mr. Brothers, there's a little paperwork for you to fill out. I said, okay, thanks. He said, I have a question for you. He said, I've seen your kids coming in and how they're dressed, and I'll see you studying sometime. Are you a pastor? So guess what I had to do? I had to go back out to my car, and I had to go get a track. And guess what? I gave him a track, said, hey, listen, here's where our church. Now, we're 40 minutes away from here. He's got talking to him, and he goes to a small Spanish church. He teaches Sunday school to the children there and got to fellowship some with them. You know, guess what that was? The Holy Spirit leading, hey, give that guy a track, right? Witness to him. Talk to him. Hey, and so you'll go somewhere, and it doesn't mean everybody you're around, you're giving track, but God's going to lead. And so as the Holy Spirit leads, for people that are a little dumber like me, sometimes it has to be a little more obvious, right? But as you strike up a conversation with somebody, God brings somebody in your path, boy, be ready to be led by the Holy Spirit. Say, hey, let me share with you.
what the Bible says. Let me share with you what God's done for me. And so Philip was willing to do that. And so Philip, as he went to Samaria, as he went to where this Ethiopian eunuch was, he obeyed God and he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted people to, no one else wanted to go to Samaria. He did. And he got to meet this Ethiopian eunuch that nobody else got allowed to. He did. So first, make sure we go where we're told to go, follow God's leading. And then look what he does when he gets there. And back in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Look at verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know what he did? He preached the same message, right? He went down to Samaria and he preached Jesus Christ. And then he went to the Ethiopian eunuch when God opened up that door to speak to him and he preached Jesus Christ. You know what this world needs to hear? They need to hear about Jesus Christ. That's what they need to hear. And so the same message, he took that, as we talked about even the last couple weeks with the apostles, he took that same message of Jesus Christ to the Samaritans. He took that same message to the Ethiopian eunuch and see how they respond to that. Look at verse number 12. These Samaritans, when they believed Philip preaching the things, what did he preach about? Concerning the kingdom of God. He taught them about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, man. He talked about the name of Christ. He talked about the kingdom of God. He began to preach that to these Samaritans. And then as he taught the Ethiopian eunuch, he opened the scriptures up, right? He took that, started there in Isaiah and began to show him Jesus in the scriptures. Hey, he preached that message of Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ, everywhere he went. And what happened is he preached that same scripture. Boy, Philip knew the scriptures well enough to be able to explain that to the Ethiopian eunuch and show him the gospel in the Old Testament. And the people there at Samaria, he preached to them the truth of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're like me, you like to have an Ethiopian eunuch once in a while. I had this happen not too long ago, in the last several months, where actually somebody drove here, came in my office, and basically asked if they could get saved. You know how many times that's happened in my life? Hardly ever, all right? Hardly ever. But I was thinking as I was reading this week, we want that Ethiopian eunuch. I don't think there's anybody here, if you're saved this morning, there's nobody here to say, man, I don't care about anybody getting saved. No, we want people to get saved, right? We want to lead people to Christ. Man, we'd love to be able to do that. We'd love to be able to lead someone to the Lord. And it'd be great if someone would just come up today or this week and, you know, you're standing there in line somewhere 6 feet apart and they come from 6 feet and say, hey, I need somebody to tell me how to get saved. That'd be great, man. Man, that's what I'm looking for. But, you know, before Philip was ever given the Ethiopian eunuch, he made a decision to go down to Samaria. I think sometimes we don't see the Ethiopian eunuch because we won't go down to Samaria. Hey, Philip said, I'll go, man. Nobody else going, I'll go. Hey, I'll preach Jesus to the hated Samaritans. And maybe the reason God said, hey, let me give you this, is because Philip had said, I'm willing to go wherever you'll send me. So maybe if we're willing to go wherever, then we'll see that Ethiopian eunuch, right? But our problem is many times we're not willing to go. Philip was willing to go, and God blessed him. And so Philip went down, he preached Christ, and then, of course, because of his faithfulness, Philip saw the results of that in verse number 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What happened? They believed. It tells us back in verse number 6, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which he spake, hearing and seeing. And so they listened to Philip, and then they trusted Christ, and then they were baptized, men and women baptized. We're not told a number here, but we know that later on in this chapter, it talks about all over Samaria where the preaching of the gospel took place. And so we saw results, and of course, we know what happens. Go to the Ethiopian eunuch here in verse number 37. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest, in verse 36, Ethiopian eunuch says, hey, there's water. Why can't we be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Hey, he believed on Jesus Christ. And so you have the results of these Samaritans who believe, who are saved and then are baptized. You have the Ethiopian eunuch, the result where he's saved and then baptized because Philip was faithful in preaching the Word of God. And then look back at verse number 8. So what happens? They hear the preaching, they get saved, they get baptized, and there was great joy in that city. And then you go to verse number 39. What does it say? When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The joy that came about because of salvation through Jesus Christ. Hey, that's what the world around us needs. They need it individually as the Ethiopian eunuch. They need it as a group as the Samaritans did. And boy, it changed their life. It changed that city. There was joy and rejoicing in that city. There was joy and rejoicing in the life of the Ethiopian eunuch. And we're not really told much in the Bible about him. Secular history tells us that revival started not long after this in Ethiopia. And very well could be he went back and shared the gospel with others. We know this, man, lives were changed because Philip did what God told him to do. And he gave the gospel out and he preached. And then, as we close here, the faithfulness of Philip, that faithfulness in preaching what God had told him to do, the results that he saw. And by the way, here's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to take the Word of God and preach that to others, whether it be in the pulpit or out as we go, and we preach that to others and we give them the truth of the gospel, and then we leave the results with God. You know, God's in charge of the results. We got a missionary coming tonight. He's going to Mexico. You know what he's going to do in Mexico? He's going to open up the Word of God and preach it, and preach Jesus Christ, and let God take care of the results. Same thing Philip did in Samaria. Same thing Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not in charge of results, but we are given the charge of preaching the gospel and sharing that with others. And Philip served God faithfully. Let's look at the end of the chapter. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 40, last verse in the chapter. Philip is done. He preached in Samaria. Talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now God moves him not too far. Philip was found, verse 40, in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip preaches all over that area and then comes to Caesarea. And we sort of, this is the end. I mean, one chapter on Philip. That's all we get. We know we get a full chapter. We get most of this chapter on Philip. But here's what I like about Philip. Not only did he see those results and stand for God and do what God, but he's faithful. We have one other mention of Philip. Go to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. And we don't know the time. If you have some Bibles, will put guesses of dates in there when things happen. We think this is at least 20 years later. It could have been 30 years later, even 40 years later, long time after. Acts chapter 21, we have one more mention of Philip. Remember, we left him in Acts chapter 8, verse 40. He's in Caesarea. That's where God's called him. That's where God put him. Acts chapter 21, look at verse number 8. And the next day, it's Luke writing here, they were of Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea. So they land there in Caesarea. I mean, we don't know the time that's gone by. We know back when Philip went to Samaria, Paul was still persecuting Christians. We know that. So lots changed. They come to Caesarea, and guess who's there? And we enter into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. You know who's still there serving? Philip. He's not getting any attention, by the way. His name hasn't been mentioned since chapter 8. And if they were paying attention, boy, who's going to write the story of this? And boy, what was Philip doing? Do you know what Philip was doing all that time? Preaching Christ. Serving God faithfully where God put him. No attention. Man, but look what he did. He's still faithful to God, and they were able to stay with him there. And because of his faithfulness, verse 9, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Hey, you know what? His children were serving God. Hey, his children were serving God. We're living for God because of the faithfulness of Philip. You know what he did? He found a place. God said, go there. He went there. He followed God's direction. He preached the gospel. And God said, all right, Caesarea, stay. And that's just where he stayed. And he served God faithfully. Hey, this morning, what we're supposed to do, take the word of God, take the gospel to others, preach it to others, share it with others, and then just be faithful. Day after day after day, rear a family that's going to serve God. And Philip, somebody we don't talk about a whole lot, but boy, when it's time for somebody to go to Samaria, hey, I'll go. Hey, I'll go. And God blessed his work, and he saw people saved. Got to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. Man, that was saved joyously. And then spent his life serving God. He said, man, I don't get much attention. Man, it seems like the ministry I'm serving in, man, doesn't get mentioned a whole lot. Or it's not, man, everything's not going. I wish things were going better. I wish it was bigger. I wish we could. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to take the gospel, the word of God, and we're supposed to preach it and follow God's leading and then be faithful. That's what we're supposed to do. So as a church, Gilgal Baptist Church, you know what? This church has been around for what? Almost 180 years. But especially for the last 50 years, guess what Gilgal Baptist Church has done? You just preach the gospel. Hey, do what God tells you to do. Not perfect, but preach the gospel. Serve God faithfully. And just trust him to take care of us. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Just like Philip in the book of Acts. Father, I pray that you bless us, help us. As Christians this morning, to look at this one individual, really we don't pay much attention to. Be honest with you, Lord, I don't know even how many messages I've heard that mention Philip. But what an obedient servant. Somebody, when you spoke, he just said, okay, I'll do it. But when the Holy Spirit led, he not only followed, he ran. When that time was done and you put him in a certain spot, he just stayed there and served you. Not for recognition or attention, but served you faithfully. And Lord, I pray that today we do the same thing. Lord, we go out of this place this morning and just serve you. Lord, we take the gospel to those, a world that needs Jesus Christ. That's what they need. So many problems that are out there that all can be solved through Jesus. So help us to share that and to see lives change because of the gospel. Not because of us, Lord, and Philip will be the first one to tell us this morning. Not because of him, but because of the name of Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity we have to take your word to others in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. And nobody looking around this morning. Everybody head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this very quick. If you're here this morning and you say, I know for sure I'm saved. Not because I'm good, not because I'm at church, not because my parents are saved. No, I know I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. I know I'm on my way to heaven. If you can say that, would you just put your hand up and say, I know I'm saved. No, I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. And what a great testimony. Let me ask you this. If you're here this morning and say this, I just don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Maybe say, I think I might be saved, or, you know, I'm hoping. Listen, our faith is not a hope-so faith. It's a knowing faith. We can know. The Bible tells us we can know we're on our way to heaven through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and say, I'm just not sure. Let me ask you this. You just do this. Just put your hand up in just a second and say, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. I won't call you. I won't go to you. I won't do anything like that. But I do want to pray for you. You say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that, would you just put your hand up, say, pray for me, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Hey, if we're saved this morning, how are we doing obeying what God told us to do? Hey, doing what God said, say, I'll go. Hey, I'll go. Nobody else, I'll go. And then as I go, I'll follow his leading. Hey, as I go to work tomorrow, I'll follow his leading. As I go out this week, I'll follow his leading. And let God take care of me. Father, again, I pray that you'd help us be faithful to your work. If there's a deal, Lord, that the hearts this morning, there's somebody who's not saved, whether it could be in the other services we have going on in the property, Lord, just deal with their hearts this morning. Help us to trust you in all we do. In Jesus' name, as the head bowed and eyes closed this morning, as the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Thanks so much again for being here today. Deacons, Finance Committee, don't get 5:30. We'll do a quick meeting. 6 o'clock tonight, have a missionary in. And then next Sunday morning, don't forget Mother's Day. I know you won't forget that. Don't forget to be at church. Got our flowers ordered already, so we're good on that. And have some special things we'll do next Sunday. So be back for Mother's Day. Have a great, great week. Father, I pray that you bless us again. Thank you for all you do for us. What a wonderful weather you blessed us with today. It's a beautiful day outside and excited about what you have for us this week. I pray that you bring us back in safely tonight, Lord, and those that, Lord, that can't make it tonight, bring them back in next week. Give us a great Mother's Day. Looking forward to that coming up. And, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. And, Lord, you've done so much for us, it makes us want to go out and tell someone about it. It helps to do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.